Okay. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is this very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. And then this is from John 3, 1-17. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. We came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who come. Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of the Spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered him, Are you a teacher of Israel? And yet you do not understand these things. Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is the word of the Lord.
Curtis, thank you for reading the scripture for us. I wanted to welcome our guest preacher, Reverend Yvonne Boyd. She was ordained deacon and elder in the... next is our children's time. Will the children please come forward? Boyd was ordained deacon and elder in the Baltimore Annual Conference in 1984 and 1986, respectively. She moved to CalPAC AC in July 1996. She served as an associate pastor at Holman UMC and Simi Valley UMC, and in June 2014 completed 23 years as pastor of the Altadena UMC. She's currently appointed on extension ministry as she pursues certification with the Board of Professional Chaplains as a hospital chaplain. She's married to Dr. Homer Boyd, who we met, and they are parents of one child, Emily Kristen Boyd, who is currently a senior at the University of Michigan, majoring in neuroscience. So, Reverend Boyd, thank you for coming to speak to us.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you. That's a typo, and I apologize for that. I moved in July of 86, actually, to the CalPAC Annual Conference. And about 1987, 88, I was first introduced to your congregation when I brought my confirmation class here, and I think Reverend Hsu, Leo Hsu, was your pastor then. And over the years, continued in my various pastorates to bring the confirmation class here. So Reverend Timothy Ting and Reverend, I'm trying to think of her name. Can't think of her name. Mamie Cole. Yes, Mamie Cole. And then 2 years ago, Nick, who was in the confirmation class, at Altadena, came with Altadena and Pasadena United Methodist Church combined to do confirmation together. And I was unable to come, but the confirmation class with Allison, Mark, and Camille Duhon from Altadena brought the confirmants here to visit and to learn about your congregation and the community of Chinatown. So it's good to be here, and I'm very appreciative to your pastor, Reverend Eva, inviting me to be with you in this moment as we go before the throne of grace. So let us pray. We are our Heavenly Father's children, and we know that He loves us one and all. Yet there are times we feel we answer another voice and call. If we're willing, the Lord will teach us His voice only to obey, no matter where. And He knows, yes, He knows just how much we can bear. Though the road gets heavy, we're never left alone to bear it all. Just ask for strength and keep on toiling, although the teardrops may fall. We have the joy of this assurance: our Heavenly Father will always answer prayer. And He knows, yes, He knows, just how much we can bear. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As the children began for us, the idea of this day, today is Trinity Sunday, a doctrinal day in the Christian calendar. We gather together to give synthesis to the manner in which we look at God, God who created the world, God whose concern for a broken and sinful world expressed a deep and abiding love through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus the Christ, and God who gives sustenance to our lives with the presence of the Holy Spirit. The encounter with the Trinity was a formula that early Christians conceptualized and engaged as they read scriptures through the prisms of their relationship with the reality of the resurrection. The encounter with the Trinity is a discernment that post-resurrected Christians, you and I, should continue to discern. As long as there is life, humanity needs to pause and ponder the Trinity. God three in one, God in unity with the diversity of ways in which God concerns himself with the world, is a doctrine that gives depth and greatness to our relationship with God and with each other. Trinity Sunday. It is a day celebrated throughout Christendom in order that we might pause and consider the ways of God as creator, author, salvation, and our present goodness for the living of our days. So how do we do this, and how do we become the children of God? Well, I would like to propose that becoming children of God is evidenced in the manner that we live as ones who perpetually engage God's world, as we discern the depth of what it means to be born of the Spirit of Christ and led by the Spirit of God. In the vocabulary of Methodism, for instance, becoming children of God, we live as ones who are disciples of Christ for the transformation of the world. So I must tell you that the reading appointed for us today as our epistle is one of my favorite passages of Scripture that I read and often reread. It is a favorite because of its construct. As a middle high school teen in my day, and some of your day, we called it junior high, as middle school age teen, I, along with my older sister, would attend summer enrichment sessions at Rice University in Houston, Texas. Oftentimes, the enrichment programs were math-related, as my mother is a mathematician and my father was a chemist and an optometrist. I have fond memories of my summers at Rice, especially one memory of a class that I took titled Probability. While the subject matter, for the most part, was way beyond my learning curve, I did take away a couple of the more important theories of the subject, the if-then problems. So the reflexive axiom, some of my high school students will probably be able to explain this better than I, but the reflexive axiom states, if A equals B, then B equals C. And the transitive axiom states, if A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. I was able to grasp that much of probability without straining my brain. And so it is with that preteen memory that I have come to enjoy the passage from Paul's letter to Romans. I turn it into a mathematical equation of probability and the manner in which series of actions are summed up into consequences and products. Replete with descriptions and constructs that begin with, if you live by the flesh, then, as compared to, if you live by the Spirit, then, our epistle text is held together by the powerful statement, for you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. I believe I want to define this statement as empowering. Friends, allow us to hear those words again. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children of God, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. My daughter is the only child to Homer and me, and the only niece to my husband's sister. My sister-in-law has no children. So as the only child to us, the only niece to her fraternal aunt, and the only grandchild to her fraternal grandmother, my husband and my daughter stand to inherit all that we have. She is the youngest grandchild of my mother. There are six grandchildren. And my mother has shared with me the ways in which she is dividing several savings accounts among her grandchildren. And my daughter is one of two beneficiaries of one of my first cousins who has no children. So as you can imagine, in future days, my daughter's inheritance shall be fairly significant. And I pray she will exercise wisdom in the manner in which she lives into her future. Now I want you to imagine the inheritance that may be yours in the future. Let's be extravagant in our imagination and visualize a long-lost relative who surprises us with an immeasurable inheritance. Imagine the feeling that would consume us as the reality of being encumbered by bills or the lack of income to meet the needs and underwrite wishes would no longer exist and would be eliminated. Imagine that. Why, there might be joy that overwhelms you. There might be lightness in your step, and you would be pretty elated, wouldn't you? But I wonder, would our attitudes, our habits, our practices, our outlook change? Would our convictions and passions be transformed into meaningful living? With the abundance that we inherit, would we be changed? Sisters and brothers, amen. Sisters and brothers, again, it is the statement of our inheritance from God that is the focal point of this passage from Paul to the church at Rome, to which I want to return your attention. For our inheritance is great. When we acknowledge God, when we cry, Abba, Father, we break the shackles that enslave and we receive the spirit of liberation. A new relationship emerges in our acknowledgement of God as children of God, but not only heirs of God, but joint heirs of Christ, joint heirs with Christ. That is to say, my friends, that the love that God so freely gives to us, the love that God bestows upon us with a mighty inheritance is an offering that empowers us, as he did for his own beloved Son, Jesus the Christ. God empowered Jesus to a life of compassionate living, engaging the most vulnerable of society with words and deeds that uplifted, edified, endowed self-esteem to all whom he encountered. God empowered his beloved Son as Jesus did in his selfless living and redefining community to welcome to a welcoming place for all who seek their best self. The richness of our inheritance, God's abundant love for us, reorientates our lives to no longer living from a place of fear and doubt and weakness, but to a place of courage and confidence and hope. And it is this reorientation that Nicodemus in our gospel lesson desires when he approaches Jesus in the darkness of night. A learned man, a leader in his community, undoubtedly he is financially secured and perhaps economically wealthy, yet he knows that he is in need of something other. Fearing that if by day he would approach Jesus, that he would be ostracized or his power and presence in the community be negatively impacted, as Jesus, you know, was a rebel and a radical before the eyes of the religious leaders and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, Nicodemus seeks Jesus at night in order to gain a sense of meaning out of his life and to contextualize his life in the ways of God. He wants to become a child of God in a true and meaningful way. And in conversation with Jesus, he is introduced again to the concept of birth, this time spirit birth. Acknowledging the gifts of God's abundant life, and in his encounter with Jesus, his abundance in baptism, if you will, born of water and spirit, he does this in order to become a child of God. How do we reveal our inheritance as co-heirs of Christ? We cry, Abba, Father. Abba, Father announces us as co-heirs of Christ. How do we make real our faith in God, the Creator, God in Christ Jesus, and God, the Holy Comforter and Empowering Spirit? How do we display our relationship with God as the children of God? I want to offer to you today that our faith is made real, is justified in the discipleship that we extend to God in Christ Jesus, discipleship that would prohibit us from harming our sisters and brothers. Our faith is justified as disciples of Christ in our rejection of all the ills that would otherwise embody our bodies, embody us as a result of greed and power. If the earth is the Lord's, then as disciples of Christ, it is our duty to care for the earth, not to pummel it, not to mass produce it, or even drill beyond capacity to assure the earth's future and well-being of its people to come. Our faith is justified in the discipleship that we display as we do no harm to the members of the human race, especially those whose race, language, or age, or gender, or orientation places them as the more vulnerable of society. Our becoming children of God involves us in the advocacy for equal access to quality education for any and all who desire to bend to the discipline of study. Our faith is justified. That is to say, we become children of God if we, like the one whom we are in relationship as a co-heir, if we extend ourselves to one another and the world with compassionate and hospitable presence, a presence full of grace and mercy. So it is Trinity Sunday, the day we recognize the unity of God's relationship with the world and its creatures, including you and me. God is the Creator, the author of salvation, Jesus the Christ, and our present help in time of need. It is a practical doctrine and an experiential doctrine. It is a life-giving and life-transforming doctrine. Becoming children of God, let us go out from this place and love deeply, love richly, and love intentionally. Amen.